This week's topic is going to be Tu Bishvat, even though it's mostly Tu Bishvat. And we're going to talk about Tu Bishvat and the Eastern religions. The difference between Judaism and the Eastern religions. Okay? All right. So, the Makor in Halacha for Tu Bishvat is in 7 Kuf Lamed Aleph. It speaks about saying Tachanun. It sings about supplications. The supplication we say after the Shemona Esrei, we don't do that on Tu Bishvat. What's the reason? Because a little bit of a Yom Tov. So the Magen Avraham brings a source that we also have a minute to eat fruit on Tu Bishvat. The Gaon Mivilna on that halacha brings the Makor for Tu Bishvat. It's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says there's 4 Rosh Hashanahs. The last one being Tu Bishvat, which is Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot. And the Gros says that all of these 4 Rosh Hashanahs are Yom Tovs. And therefore we don't have Nefilat Apayim on any of these days. That's the Gros. Okay, so we eat fruit. Because it's Rosh Hashanah le'ilanot. It's the beginning of the year for the trees. Right? And that's it. So, big deal. But there's more. It's brought down B'Shei Ma'ari, who explains this Gemara, one of the Pshatim, is that the 4 Rosh Hashanahs and Tu Bishvat, 4 Rosh Hashanahs are connected the name, God's name. The Yud, K, Vav, K. Right? Or the Shem Adni. Aleph, Daled, Nun, Yud. Yeah? You heard of those names? Shem Havaya. It's called Shem Havaya. Yud Kei Vav Kei. You've seen that in Yisidu. And same Adni, which is Loshen of Adnus, of Master, right? It's a Shem of Malchus. You know, the mastery, the master is the Melech usually. Shem Havaya is the Shem, is the name of God, was, is, and will be, His presence. It's also, so according to this, the last letter is what's represented Tu Bishvat. Well, we understand, we probably don't understand it, but we're going to try a little bit to understand. What does that mean? So there's an interesting Shem Mishmur. The Shem Mishmur says a very interesting pshat. He says, what's a tree? What's a tree for? What a tree does? The tree is connected to the ground. It has deep roots in the ground, right? And it draws its sustenance from the ground, produces its sap from the rain, right? And then the sap produces the fruit. The tree is that which connects between the ground and the fruit. Correct? Chazal tell us, ki Adam hu eitz hasadeh. A person is like the tree of the field. Person has a dimyan, a human being has a person, has a representation of a tree. What's that representation? What's the connection? A human being connects the lower world to the upper worlds. He has a goof, he has a physical goof, he has a physical aspect, right? We eat, we sleep, right? We have physical desires, right? That's our goof. And yet, we think thoughts, we think godly thoughts, spiritual thoughts, we give, we're caring, we're feeling. Those are godly. Those are the higher worlds. Those are all connected through a human being. He connects the lower worlds to the higher worlds. Yeah? You with me? Understand? Clear? So he says there's two connections. So now, he further goes on to explain that why is Tu Bishvat the Rosh Hashanah for Ilanot? It's only when the tree begins to blossom. It's not when we have the fruit. Why only when the tree begins to blossom? That's the beginning of the coming out of the fruit. But the fruit haven't yet come out. So there's a run in Rosh Hashanah, which he brings. The run in Rosh Hashanah is a very famous run. He's saying, why should that be Rosh Hashanah to Ilanot? The year hasn't passed. So the run explains, Rosh Hashanah Ilanot should be Rosh Hashanah. After the whole year's passed, then those fruit, which came out for that year, after Rosh Hashanah, is that the fruit that came out for the year? So he says, no. Rov Geshamim, says Aran, the majority of rain for that year happens by Tu Bishvat. Yeah? Ah, we don't see the fruit. Says, but the potential for the fruit is still in the tree. The potential for the fruit is still in the tree. So therefore, he says the Aran, all the fruit, what is the potential of the fruit? The sap. The sap is already produced in the tree, which comes from the rain. The sap is still in that fruit, is in the tree. And from that sap comes all the fruit from that year. That's why the blossoming, which starts in Tu Bishvat, is the beginning of that next year, which came from that previous year, right? Of the fruit which came from that previous year. That's why Tu Bishvat, says the Ran, is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot. So, in physical terms, Tu Bishvat is that all the potential for the fruit is in the tree. So the Shem Mishmur explains that Tu Bishvat comes, is 4 months after the beginning of the year. Right? We have Cheshvan, we have Kislev, then we have Kislev, then we have Tevet, and then we have Shvat. I should have already started with Tishri. Tishri is the beginning of the year. Tishri, right? So Machlokas in the Gemara. Okay, first of all, he says it's 4 months afterwards. I'm going to explain a bit more. 4 months after is a third of 12 months, right? That's a shlish, a third of the year. If we look at a human being, the shlish of a human being occurs in the heart. Right? The heart is where the third, if you start from the head, a third down, according to Chazal, is the heart. Rosh Hashanah is the head. The heart is Tu Bishvat. So he says, the heart of the year, the Hashlama, the completion of the heart of the year, is at Tu Bishvat. Yeah? The completion of the heart of the year. What does the heart represent? The heart, right? When a person, his feelings, is not necessarily action. The person has his thinking. From his thinking doesn't produce an action. His feelings produces action. His thinking brings on his feelings, and from the feelings then comes the action. So the potential for the action is in the lave. The lave is where a person is. A person, right? A Kodesh Baruch Hu, we spoke about this. A Kodesh Baruch Hu, Liba Boy. A Kodesh Baruch Hu wants our hearts, wants our feelings to be with him. The person, where the person is in his feelings. He's not in his thinking, in terms of his dealings with the world. But the feelings aren't yet, are only his potential. The actual actualization is his actions. So Tu Bishvat is the stage, he says the Shem Mishmur, when there's a completion of that part of the year, which is the lave. You with me? I.e., it's similar to that concept of the sap. The sap is the potential of the fruit. You understand? Are you with me? What are the fruit? What is the fruit of a person? So there's a Gemara he brings in Sota. The Gemara in Memvav in Sota says that why do we use an Egla Rufa when someone dies, he's found between two cities and we find him close to one city. There's a mitzvah of the Torah that we like break an egg, a calf, the neck of a calf, over Nachal Eitan, a certain river. Why do we use an egla? So the Gemara says, just as an egla doesn't have children, it didn't produce fruit, so too this man didn't produce fruit. What does it mean fruit? What's the fruit of a man? The Gemara says, mitzvahs. The fruit of a person is his mitzvahs. So when we say Adam who ate a sadeh, what's the fruit? What's the expression of a person? Just the expression of a tree is his fruit. The expression of a person is his mitzvahs. So Tu Bishvat, by Tu Bishvat, the year has come into its potential. That till now, from Rosh Hashanah, we've come to the stage where we have our sap, we have our potential, and the rest of the year is the expression of that potential. That's how he explains. We also know it from Parshas Noach. Eile told us Noach, these are the generations of Noach. Noach! Ish tzadik haya b'dorotav. What are the generations of a person? His is Noach himself. His maisim tovim. His good deeds. That's the generation. That's the fruit. That's the toldus. That's the expression of a person. That's what a person leaves with him. His good deeds. We don't need anything else. Ah, we leave our children. Of course our children's important. But our children, we mekayim, the Gros says, we only mekayim pro revu with children. This is the Gros says, it's not me. It's the mekayim Torah mitzvahs. They're doing Torah mitzvahs. Otherwise it's lehevel varik. If a child's mekayim Torah mitzvahs, then you mekayim pro revu. I'm not saying this is l'halacha. This is the Gros says, this is an Evan Shleimer. Because Ikar Adam, the main part of a person, the main peris, the main fruit of a person, is the expression in this world of his mitzvahs. That's the main person. No one writes, we always say this, no one writes in the eulogy, he made a multinational company.
We're getting there.
Unfortunately, we are. I saw there are people, you see there's people, once there's in a graveyard in here, and I saw, on the way through, I saw someone had a picture of himself on his tombstone when he was younger. It's crazy.
When he was younger.
Yeah, when he died. who cares? Once I was in a hesped of someone very not religious, some young person. I passed. I was going to see a certain grave, and I passed the hesped, and I listened in. And the hesped, the person said, this person knew how to take life. He knew how to drink wine. He knew how to enjoy himself. He enjoyed his food. What? That's crazy. Any of us would even think about that's a shevach? We know we enjoy our food. Okay, we enjoy that good
but
wine, right?
It's fine,
right? We know. But that's what's important in life? No. Your peres are your mitzvahs. That's what you leave. That's your fruit. And you have pere perotehen. You have fruits on fruits. Because you did a certain mitzvah, it generates and it regenerates. Ad Ein Sof. Anyway. So, Tu Bishvat, we've come to a very important stage. It's a very important time of the year. It's the time where our potential becomes to the level of expression. According to this, what is Shavuos? Shavuos is Yom HaBikurim. It's the day of the first fruits. When the fruit first come out. Why is that? Now that we have Torah, our mitzvahs become mitzvahs. Without Torah, our mitzvahs are mitzvahs. There's a Tosfos in Kedushin. Tosfos in Kedushin says, Le Matchilim. We mentioned this again. Le Matchilim. The people who start in doing Torah or doing mitzvahs, it's definitely Torah is more important than doing mitzvahs. Because without Torah, your mitzvahs are not mitzvahs. Chas v'shalom doesn't mean you're not putting on tefillin. Chas v'shalom doesn't mean you're not putting on Kriyat Shema. But in comparison to doing mitzvahs with understanding, to do mitzvahs with not understanding, it's like not a mitzvah. So Torah is a very important part. Once we have Kabbalah Satorah, then we have Bikurim. Then we have the first expression of our mitzvahs. And from Shavuos to Sukkos, which is the Sov Zman HaKatzir, that's the time we reap our produce. It's Zman Simcha. We're reaping our produce. You understand? Okay. So, now let's go back. So what is Tu Bishvat about? Tu Bishvat, the whole point of Tu Bishvat is this expression. The purpose of our year is to the expression of our lev, the expression of our cognitive self, which is Rosh Hashanah, the expression of our lev, which comes after Tu Bishvat, and the reaping of those peiros, which is our mitzvahs, from Shavuos onwards. That's how we see it. That's the Jewish year. That's the Jewish year in terms of the cycle of the year. Right? That's a Jewish year. What does that mean in terms of Jew? What does that mean in terms of the way we look at life? What is life? How do we look at life? What's a concept of life that we learn from Tu Bishvat? So we eat our fruit. Minhag lechol peros of Tu Bishvat. Thank you very much. So you all had your 15 minim. What do you do? What's a minhag? So the minhag is, actually the minhag a little bit. Last night, some of us, me included, right? You take the Shir Amalas of the Nevi'im, right? You know the Shir, the Nevi'im, there's 15 steps. And each step they say a different Shir Amalas, right? And so the minhag is you have 15 fruits. And for each fruit, you say a Shir Amalas, according to the brachas that you say. So that's what you do. That's why I have dry fruit, because it's very hard to find fresh fruit, 15 fresh fruits. So we have dry fruit, okay. But that's what you say at night. What? And then you say a little midrash on the fruit, and that's it. What is this for? What are we doing this for? What's a Shir Amalas? What's a Shir? Okay, so let's explain something. Tu Bishvat always falls after Parshas Shira. Yeah. Always falls. There's a very interesting Rashi there. Rashi says, as Yashir. Now it says, then we will sing. So Rashi says, what do you mean then we will sing? As Yashir, they were singing then. They were singing the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. What is then they will sing? Now they're singing. They're singing the time that they saw the midstream going, you know, getting thrown out of the yam. Right? What do you mean as then they will sing? So Rashi says, as Kesha'ala Belibo, when the feelings were Ole, came onto his heart, then it's automatic, a person will sing. It's so Rashi explained the process of a human being. The process of a shir, how does it work? The feelings come onto the heart, and then a person sings. Singing is like an instinctive thing. It depends on the feelings be there. Then a person sings. You don't find yourself, you know, in a good mood all of a sudden. You start singing, or you're learning a good tosis, and all of a sudden you start singing. It happens automatically. Right? Automatically. You feel good, you start singing. You don't have to think about the words. It just automatically comes. If it's a really good tosis, come on. It's a really good tosis. Then you see it's a concerto, right? That's what you're saying. Do you understand the concept? So that's what Rashi said. What does that mean? What's this related to the Shira Malas that we say? When you have the lev is full of that potential, then the Shira. The tree is full of that potential. Now we have the Shira on the Peiros. Shira Malas is to be going up in Dargas. The Shir is a Shir that goes up in Dargas. What does a Shir mean? What does Shir mean? If you notice, the Otiyot of Shir is Yud Shin Resh. It's Yashar. It's Yud Shin Resh. Thank you. It's Yud Shin Resh. Means straight. Right? When a person is straight with his creator, when there's a clarity, when you have a clear, a glatta tosfos, when you're clear about your learning, you're clear about your life, when you have simchas, when you're clear, when there's a clarity, when there's a tiara, when there's taho, when you're pure, then you're shah, then you sing. Yisrael, Yashar Kel, Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Yashar Kel, we're straight with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're straight in our dealings with Him, we're straight in being His mekablim, to express His rotzen. When we're full express of His rotzen, then we get to a level of yashir, of singing. That's what Tu B'Shvat about. That our lev is made pure. Lev taho bara Elokim. A pure heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with. So the Gemara says, lev taho, mashmidi katame. It's a tame lev as well. There's an impure lev. What is an impure lev? What does tame mean? Tame, Rashi in many places explains, tame is loshen atima. It's a closed heart. A closed heart is not being expressed properly. Wrong expression is a closed heart. When we sing, we sing because we have a clarity. That means an open heart. An open heart to Rotzen Hashem. A closed heart to other things. When Tumma means a closed heart to Rotzen Hashem. That's what we don't want. That's the Yetzirah. That's what Gemara in Kedushin says. Lev Tame, that's the Yetzirah. That's the Yetzirah. That's what closes our heart. Tu B'Shvat is that we get to that clarity of Lev. And then life becomes an expression of Rotzen Hashem. That's Judaism. Judaism is coming to that clarity through Torah, and through Torah, then we get to that clarity of what Rotzen Hashem is, and then life is about expressing that clarity. Expressing Rotzen Hashem in this world. Now, how, you understand now what Tu B'Shvat is? You understand the dimyon to the tree? Yeah? And now they explain, we go back to the Arizal, we say we're going to explain. The last letter in Shem Hashem represents Malchus, represents kingship. What's a king? Chazal said the king is the lev of the people, the heart of the people. The king is also the Eved. He's also the servant of the people. Why? Because he has to be the one who expresses the rotzen of the people. He's the one who expresses their will. Their will through, in a guiding way, through the will of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's God's representation. He's representing God's will and the will of the people in guiding them to the right will. That's the purpose of a melech. Tu B'Shvat is the time that we want to be expressing Malchus. We want our lev to be expressing Rotzen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Gilui Malchus. That's what Tu B'Shvat is. And that's what basically the Shemesh Shmuel is explaining. The Tu B'Shvat is the expression of the Pefoah, the Bekoach, the the potential in Bafal in the world, the blossoming of a person. We want to be blossoming in the correct way. You with me? Understand? Make sense? Yeah.
Which letter does Tu B'Shvat correspond?
It's a Yud of Adni. That means the Malchus of Malchus. Adni is Malchus. And the Hey Achrona of Shem Avai, which is also Malchus.
Is it the last?
The last letter.
It's the last Rosh Hashanah of the year?
Yeah, it's the last Rosh Hashanah in the Mishnah.
Why is it the letter Hey, the last letter Hey of Hashem is Malchus?
Because what does Hey mean? Hey Lecha. Ha Lachmania. Hey Lech. You learn from Tzir? Means this is it. Here. It's an expression. Hey represents Halach. Here it is. It means expression. That's what Hey means. Okay, you're going to ask me a kasha. The first Hey is also. That represents Bina, right? And that does it, but it's expression of Chochmah. And the mother is expression of the father. Chochmah is the father. Okay, I'm not going to explain that now. That's not for us. Yeah, that's a higher level of expression. It's a more Ruchani level of expression. Okay, not for us. But Hey always represents the letter of expression. Okay? All right. Huh? Okay, that's not for.
We're too young.
No, it's nothing to do with that. That's nothing deep. Anyway, now let's go back. So now, as we said, we're going to explain this. The shiur was about Tu B'Shvat and the Eastern religions. So, what's the rabbi talking about? What's this to do with the Eastern religions? Okay. So now, not that I'm a big baki of the Eastern religions, but I've had Talmidim who've been in the Himalayas for 6 months, who nearly became, Buddhist monks, right? So, and the Talmidim, they gave me books, and I read a bit of them, and they told me a little bit about them.
You burned a little bit of them.
No, I didn't burn anything. I even did meditation. I have a student who's into this meditation. I'll speak to you about it. So when I was in America, so before my davening, I got up a little earlier, and I spent half an hour doing the breathing exercise to see what this thing is. I want to know what it is. You know, I don't want to talk about something I don't know, don't experience, you know. But I'll explain it to you soon. You're here. Let's start from the beginning. So if I understand Buddhism correctly, which I might not, so please, this is, you know, for Amma Aretz Buddhist, right? But if the people who were Amma Aretzim told me this is the correct understanding, but my understanding is, the purpose is of this is a world of suffering, and we leave this world. Why am I talking about this to you guys? None of you guys are Buddhists, but you should know. The world is looking for spirituality. And they're turning all of their eyes, especially the Jewish world, and they're all turning, you know, go to California, go to all these other places. They're looking, they're dead. They're looking for some sort of spirit, something to contact with, and they're turning to Buddhism. Now, I want to explain why, from a Jewish point of view, that's not a place we should be turning. It's not necessarily a tool we shouldn't be using. As a tool, you can use it. You know, you have doctors. You can use it as a tool. Doesn't mean if I believe in the doctor, right? You have psychologists. Doesn't mean if I believe in the doctor. Even though Jewish psychology is very different. I wouldn't call it psychology. Jewish way of understanding a human being is very different to modern psychology. They believe in taking. That's their psychology. We believe in giving to solve our problems. That's why their psychology does not work. Our psychology does work, right? It works for selling you products, but that's not the point of it, right? But that's a separate shoe.
They do sell.
Yeah. That it works. That's a way of that's called the way of taking, right? Maybe in Yovin.
Why do so many Jews work?
Because they're dead spiritually, and they're looking for something. I'll explain. Okay, let's start from the beginning. I know where to start at the beginning, but since you asked this question, yeah, let's start with Chumash. So it says, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara says that it's a Rashi in Chumash. Rashi brings it that Avraham gave matanas to the children of the Pilagshim, Bnei Keturah. He gave them presents. What does Rashi say? Shemus Hatuma. He gave them the names of Tuma, of impurity. Right? So Rashi in Sanhedrin, what does he say? He gave them kishuf. He gave them, how do you say kishuf? Witchcraft. I don't know if that's kishuf. And you know, like the shindalats. These, you know, the magic. So they call it magic. But real, the real stuff. He gave them those, the way to connect to the lower worlds. Right?
Everybody else has to do.
That's what he gave to Bnei Keturah. Right? Now, Stam, I don't know. And he sent them kedma. He sent them eastwards. Right? we all know that some Hindu sects call themselves Brahmim, Avraham, Brahmim. So there's a connection. The Arizal actually says the Asian worlds, right, Bnei Keturah, right, are actually would be good to the Jewish people. They would be helping. They'd be servers to the Jewish people. He actually says that. There's a pirchon in Japan. I don't know Japan, but the Arizal says that. He says that they would be servers to the Jewish people. It could be they're service to, at the moment, they're service to the world, but that's what he says about the Jewish people. That actually, there won't be so much anti-Semitism from there. Okay, but that's what he says. Okay. Now, he doesn't say there won't be anti-Semitism. He just says it would be service to the Jewish people. They would be machnir themselves to us. That's what he says.
Okay.
No, Esav no. And Yishmael no. Yishmael is also, according to one Pshat and Rashi, Bnei Keturah. But okay, anyway, let's go back to where we say. It's the same person, but that's not Yishmael. Yishmael is a different Pshat, Parsha. Anyway, so, now let's go back. So, these Eastern religions, according to Chazal, if we understand it correctly, is actually connection as a disconnection. Now, I want to explain to you why that is. They believe in what's called enlightenment. This is a world of suffering, and we have to leave this world to reach enlightenment and end all our suffering. The only reason they come back to the world is to bring other people with them to enlightenment, or to teach them enlightenment. That's the only reason. Correct? Okay. From a Jewish point of view, that's called death. To leave the guf is called death. The siluk of the neshama from the guf is called death. The Loshen for Avodah Zorah, when you bring a korban for Avodah Zorah, is Zivchei Meitim. That's the Loshen of Chazal. It's a pasuk.
You have to wash your hands after you meditate?
No, I didn't say that. I told you. Explain. I'll get explained. I'm not asking halachas here. I'm not saying it's also to meditate. Certain meditations, I would say, is also any meditation that involves names. They give you a name. There are certain meditations, they say, this is your name, and you meditate on a name. That don't do. Meditations of breathing, stuff like that, that's okay. But I explain to you why it's not a Jewish concept.
It's about nothingness.
Huh? Yeah, that's what they do. It's okay to do. I don't think it's good. If you need it for whatever reasons you need, you can do it. But it's not awesome. But it's not a Jewish concept. And I explain to you, Judaism...
What's the Korban?
Yeah, it's called Zivchei Meitim, the korban, the sacrifice of dead, to the dead people. Why is that called a korban to the dead? Because that's not life. Life, if we understand Tu Bishvat, life means expression, when the lev, the heart is expressed. When the heart is yashar with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it's expressing His will. When expressing His will in this world, not leaving this world to get reached to higher levels of soul. We're not into that. We're about bringing our neshama into this world. You understand what I'm saying? You understand the difference? We're not about leaving our guf and being mishashay with our neshama, going up there. Now I'll tell you my personal experience. When I did that meditation, and it was pretty intense. Did for half an hour, you know, on a tape recorder or whatever, on a computer. It was a simple breathing meditation. I can concentrate, you know, if you spend a few years learning Gemara, you can concentrate. So I did the meditation. When I finished that meditation, one thing was very clear to me, that I am not my goof. My goof is something separate. I was breathing through my toes, breathing through my fingernails. I felt at that time, because if you focus on something, you're focusing on your goof and you're treating it, I'm in control of it. I'm breathing through my legs, I'm breathing through my fingers, I'm breathing through all these things. I'm in control of it, in a sense. I'm causing different parts of my goof, and then finally my whole goof is breathing, right? My whole body is breathing, right? It's an amazing thing. But then when you stop it, there's a certain realization you have that you are not your goof. So now I was walking... Wait, you can do that. There's different levels. If you do meditation of feelings, which is a higher level of meditation, I didn't do that, but I would assume that you have the feeling that you are not your feelings. Your feelings are something less than, out of you. If you do meditation of your mind, you'll have the concept that you are not your mind. And similarly, you go to the higher levels of your soul, your subconscious. You are not your subconscious. So in the theory, there are things you could fix by doing those things, right? You can be in control of those things, but let me tell you why it's not advisable. Because what's the feeling you have afterwards? The feeling you have afterwards is, you are not your goof. And I went to shul to daven, and had this weird feeling that, you know, I'm not my goof. Like, I like snap out of this, and I wasn't snapping out of it, right? And I want to feel my goof, you know, I like him. It's good. I could take a shower with him, right? It's good, you know? Go swimming with it. Right, it's good. It's useful thing. Ice cream with it. Yeah. Schnitzel with it. Oh, now we're talking, right? Cake with it. It's a good thing, my goof. I like feeling it. So what's that problem? Which is the holiest day in the world, in the Jewish calendar?
Shabbat.
What do you do on Shabbos? What are you guys? You got in Shabbos? I see you got a lot of beers here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're really spiritual religion. The most holy day of the year. What we don't get to, we get once a year in Yom Kippur. On Ne'ilah, we need 5 tefillahs to get there. 5 tefillahs and a fast to get to the same place we get every Shabbos in Mincha by a davening a Mincha and having a Suda Shlishi. Once you're really stuffed, you have to have really good food, and Sudashishi, you're going to be Mekayim Behido, right? We do every week. And we do that by eating. Not by fasting, and not by 5 tefillahs. Right? You know, it's an easy. You can schluff around, you play with your kids, right? You hear the Parsha Shavua, you talk to your wife. You know, I kimat don't learn. Apart from Parsha Shavua, I don't learn on Shabbos. And I learn the rest of the week. Right? That's the most holy day.
How come you feel the worst around Mincha time? You
I don't know. Everyone has individual things. I don't know. You're supposed to feel good. Let me say, there's a difference in Shabbos. There's a difference in Shabbos. Shabbos has an Neshama Yetera. Explain this. Shabbos has an Neshama Yetera. It's Yom Kippur, there's an Avoda. Yom Kippur, there's a lot. Because of the day, it's given to you. The Chagim, the spiritual feeling that you feel in the Chagim, is a given. It's given to you in that day. Shabbos, you need 6 days of work to feel Shabbos. If you work for 6 days spiritually, you'll feel Shabbos. You get your neshama yetera. It doesn't happen automatic. It requires work. 6 days of work. I'm not saying I work. I'm not saying I feel Shabbos. But the more you work, the better you have that week, the more you're going to feel Shabbos. That's how it works.
Specifically
melacha. No. Melacha, I mean spiritual work. Means working on self. Your learning, your tefillah, how you work during the week is how you feel Shabbos. And how you feel Shabbos will affect the next week. It's like, it's basically, it's the end and the beginning.
So why does the pasuk say you can work the land for 6 days?
You have to work for 6 days. Doesn't mean, Lemaisa, it doesn't mean you should work. There's no mitzvah to do without to work. There's a mitzvah to be a mefarnes, right? If you can work 1 hour and be a mefarnes your family, there's no mitzvah to work more than an hour. There's no din. Adarabba, Rav Desta speaks about being a klala. Work. B'zeid apecha tochalech. That's a klala of Adam Arishon. The less work you do, the less klala you have, says Rav Desta. How do you say klala? No. Klala means when you destroy something.
Oh, destruction.
Klala means like you curse. Less curse you have.
Oh, that.
Klala means curse. Work isn't
work itself.
Adam Arishon in Gan Eden. We're getting off the track now, but okay, because you asked it, it's an important question. I'll answer. Adam Arishon, when he was Eitzadas, so he was cursed. He had to toil in order to get
the less God has cursed us in making us have to work.
Yeah, a person, because of the Chet of Adam Arishon, a person has to work. He should be minimize his work in terms of working in the physical world, and work more in the spiritual aspect of self. Work more in his pnimius and less work in his physical world. We have a wife, we have kids, you have to work, you have to make a panosa, that's part of your ksuba, so you go out to work. But work isn't the purpose of life. Physical work isn't the purpose of life. You have to be mimai at work. Work's a klala, that's what Desta says. Yeah, he learns it from psukim. Yeah?
That's not what we were saying earlier, but we were talking about Judaism is bringing the soul down here, not for the soul to leave the goof. So if we're mainly focused, if we want to be focused on Ruchnius stuff, then that's pulling our soul out of our goof, is it not?
No. What Ruchnius are we talking about? What do we do? What do rabbis do? What do you do? What do you do when you teach? You teach. You bring up kids. Believe me, I'll tell you a story. This boy, this one of my students. This boy was in the Himalayan mountains for 6 months, and he was like doing meditation. I don't know, for a month he was doing meditation, not speaking for a month, doing meditation. It was serious stuff, right? They wanted to make him a Buddhist monk. Baruch Hashem, he didn't become one. But he was on a high level. He got married. I told him, you need to get married. Got married, married her, a nice girl. So when he was leaving Eretz Yisrael, he had to pack. So his wife, when you get married, you realize there's differences in you and your wife. Your wife collects things. My wife also, she collects things. There's lots of boxes of this she likes, this thing she wants to keep, and this. So I'm going to America now. Get rid of them. What do you need these things for? Right? Who needs all these boxes? Now, he has to take off time to the kollel, pack these boxes, which he, from his point of view, thinks is a complete waste of time. Right? And he has to help his wife. So he's taking off time from learning, which is important from him, to pack these boxes, because they're moving to America, to take stuff that he thinks is completely useless, pack them up, waste his time, and pay money to take them over to America. Say, ask him, tell me, what's harder, packing those boxes or meditating for a month? So he laughed. He said, Rabbi, it's not a question. Packing those boxes. You guys don't know what I'm talking about. You're not married. When you get married, you know what I'm talking about. What am I telling you? Leaving this world and mishasher with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have no nigudim. There's nothing to fight you. Okay, you have to get to this level, and if you practice more, you get to a higher level. But there's no nigudim. There's no difficulties, major difficulties. You can get to that level. Okay, so it takes you longer. You're not such a good meditator. You can get there eventually. When you're married and you have to bring Kedusha into this world, and your wife has a different opinion because she's completely different to a man, and your kids press all your buttons because they're similar to you, and they have things that you don't like about yourself, and they press every single one of them, and you multiply that by 9, right? And if you're active, they're active. You put them in a small space, right? You have what's called a nuclear power station, right? Uranium going off every day, right? Okay, so you understand, right? And you have to control that reaction. When uranium goes off, it makes a big, big boom, right? You understand? And you bring them up properly. And you have to work on yourself. Buddhism doesn't believe in marriage. That was the final. Judaism believes in marriage. How do we believe in marriage? The highest level of Kedusha is marriage. The Ark, which is the Holy of Holies, has the Kruvim, boy and a girl. The Goyim, when they came to the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't understand. It was schok. It was a joke in their eyes. That's what's in the Holy of Holies? Bilam. So come on, he lost his eye. Why did he lose his eye? Because he didn't understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking at Klal Yisrael having children. He didn't understand how that's important. What's Kaddish about that? What's holy? That God has to be involved in that? Yes. The Gemara says, if a person's not married, he's without Torah. He's without simcha, without joy. He's not a complete person. They believe you shouldn't get married. Christianity, the same thing. A woman, you shouldn't be married. If you have a high spiritual level, you shouldn't be married. It's an avera. But yeah, but you can get married. We believe that's kiddushin, that's holiness. Because we believe in expression. Bringing Kodesh Baruch into the world. When I say that you have to minimize your work, I'm not saying that you shouldn't work. You should work. But in your work, whatever you do, it should be a kiddush Hashem. You should be properly dealing with people. You should be properly dealing with the people you're around. Doing proper in business, right? To kiddush Hashem. But that doesn't mean if you made your money for the week or for the month or for the year, carry on working. There's other kiddush Hashems you can do. You can spend time with your family. You can learn. There's lots of kiddush Hashems. You can teach. You can send people here, right? You can have a Shabbos table. There's lots of things. The only thing you can do is work. The only thing you make money for... for what's a bank? Give me a bank.
JP Morgan.
That's the only thing you can do. That's what you created for. That's what you can write on your tombstone. I made I don't know how many millions you make. 2 million, 3 million for JP Morgan.
More than that.
Okay. Anyone writes that? You know anyone writes that? No. You understand? So spend your time on those things which are ikka. Now let's go back. Why is it zivchei meisim? Why is this tumah? Because when you separate yourself from yourself, I'm not my guf. I'm not my feelings. I'm not my mind. I'm not my subconscious. Who are you? You're separated. You're going higher and higher, and you want to stay there, right? Not in Judaism. That's tumah. That's death. Death is the siluk, the going up of the soul. What's life? Life is when the soul comes into the body. Kuhu chayecha. It's your life. The Torah is your life. Because Torah means when God's will is expressed in you. When you're bringing that down. When you're down. Shabbos, we said, is the holiest day. We eat cholent. You eat cholent? Good stuff, right? Good shluf afterwards as well, right? After you have a good bowl of cholent, it's hard not to shluf, right? We all know the problem. And then you get a nice ice cream, parim, of course, right? Afterwards, with a nice fruit, right? It's good. You don't have, didn't have that every day. Maybe Mochon Yaakov, I don't know, right? You don't have that every day. The food's good. The most holy day, the food's good. Shlufing, talking to the kids, playing with the kids, talking to your wife. Should be learning the whole day. Shvuas. It's a machlokes in the Gemara. If you spend a chagim all for Kodesh Baruch Hu, or chetzio for Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? Chetzio for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shvuas, everyone agrees. Chetzio for ourselves. The day I'm giving a Torah, we should be just sitting and learning the whole day. No cheesecake, no ice cream, right? You don't have to have parif now, you can have the real stuff, real Ben and Jerry's, right? What happened though? What's the pshat in that? No impregnated rice with vitamins. No, that's what they have in these ashrams, right? They have the minimum of eating. You have to get away from food. The holiest day, we're tucking in. We're supposed to feel our guf. We're supposed to enjoy in its expression, every aspect of us. We're supposed to feel. We're not supposed to be in control of our feelings, not to such an extent. We're supposed to be in control of our feelings. If someone hurts us, we should react. But if lo aleinu, someone, a relative dies, we're supposed to cry. We're supposed to cry. At a chasna of your friend, you can also cry a little bit. You can also be joyous, cry of joy. Right? Your children getting married, supposed to be joyous. You might cry at the chasna when your daughter gets married or your son gets married, right? That's wrong. That's right. You're supposed to be feeling. You're not supposed to be in control of those feelings. Your thinking is you. I don't not feel my goof when I did that meditation. I wanted to feel my goof. I like him. He's a good guy. I want to enjoy it. I want to play basketball with him, with the guys. Right? I want to enjoy my schnitzel. There's nothing wrong in enjoying. You're supposed to enjoy. You're supposed to be married. You're supposed to have kids. You're supposed to be disappointed if a kid does something wrong. You're supposed, if your child has a problem, to be worried. To be concerned. That's normal. Once there was a rabbi who saw someone, when someone died, he asked, and the person asked the child, this person didn't cry when his relative died or his parents died. That's wrong. We have 3 days of bechi in mourning. We're not supposed to be minutak from ourselves. We're supposed to be in contact with ourselves. We're supposed to bring our neshama into ourselves. That's Judaism. That's what Tu Bishvat's about. Tu Bishvat is about the expression of the lev. The heart, the lev, and the actions. Expressing, making this world. This is not a world of suffering. This is a world of suffering because it's missing out on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We are the people who bring that light into the world. Bringing a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what it means with the light of a nation. When you behave in a proper way, you're a light. A light doesn't only give light to himself. It sheds light all around him. When you go back to dark places where there's no one giving and no one sharing light, and you're a light, you shine on everyone. That's what means being a Jew is. That's, we don't convince people to do Torah. We share our light with everyone around us because we act in the right way. You act in the right way, you're a light. That's a Kiddush Hashem. You understand? Now, what was your question?
Yeah, but you enjoy your food and you like being involved with it, but at the same time, like, it's not for the sake of enjoying it, like, as in, like as an end in itself.
No.
So they give you energy so you can, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. You're right. You're not enjoying because I want to have a schnitzel because I want to have a schnitzel. I want to have a schnitzel in the back of my mind. When I eat a schnitzel, let's be honest, when I eat a schnitzel, I enjoy it. When I'm enjoying it, am I enjoying it because it's going to give me strength? No, I'm enjoying it because the schnitzel tastes good. Why am I eating it? Because schnitzel gives me energy to learn. I'm not saying I'm on that level, but you understand the difference? When I'm eating it, I'm eating something I enjoy. And I'm supposed to enjoy. I'm supposed to be satiated for my food. I'm supposed to look at it and enjoy it. Why am I eating it? What's my kavana? Because I want strength to learn. Why am I sleeping? I want strength when I get up in there. Doesn't mean I have to enjoy sleeping. The morning you can do without it, right? But when you go to bed, you can enjoy it. There's nothing wrong. I don't know if you enjoy it when you fall asleep, but okay, but the few minutes you just lie down, maybe you enjoy it.
You said that Judaism, Yiddishkeit, it's the total opposite of everything. What we do is opposite of all the other religions.
Right.
That we're supposed to bring Hashem to the world. That's what the light is. We bring
right.
Hashem down, then put it out. And you said that's a Kiddush Hashem.
Right.
And you said we're supposed to act the correct way. We're not supposed to convince our friends.
But no, it'll happen automatically. If a person asks you a question, you can answer him. We don't have to go. We're not a converting religion. We don't do jihads. We don't do crusades. We don't go around knocking on people's doors, unless they're Jewish. If they're Jewish, you can knock on a few doors. But even that, I'm not sure how that works. It's better if you, what's it called, if the people around you, the people you meet, you talk to.
It's very hard to assess what's Kiddush Hashem.
Kiddush Hashem means acting in a proper way. If you act in a proper way, you're doing Kiddush Hashem. Chilul Hashem means acting in an incorrect way. I'm not saying it has to get of Chilul Hashem in the terms of, but if you act in a proper way, you're Kiddush Hashem. It's very hard to be Kiddush Hashem the whole time. Sometimes, unfortunately, we do the wrong things. But don't bash yourself up and try. So long as you're in the Western world and you're trying to do the right thing, you take the Torah that you learn with you. And in order to be Kiddush Hashem, you have to be mechuba to the Torah. You have to be connected to the Torah. It's not sufficient. I learned 2 years in yeshiva, I can now spend 50 years in Manhattan. It's not going to work. 2 years in yeshiva means another, at least an hour a day learning. Chavrusa or something. Get up early in the morning. Okay, you'll be a little tired. But if you have to make the extra million, you'll be up anyway. So think this is your $1 million. This is your million, and it really is your $1 million. Because when you spend that hour a day learning, or some of us more, you'll see that it'll affect your whole day. It'll affect it in a very different perspective. And you'll have a very clear perspective of life. That's what it means. I'm not saying you shouldn't work. You should work. If you need to sustain your family and whatever, you should work. If you become a millionaire, put a bank account, come back to Eretz Yisrael. There's plenty of time to learn, right? You can retire early. I retired early at the age of 21. You can retire early. I always tell the boys, right? Go make money. See how much you need to come back to Eretz Yisrael. If you can get an American job that you can do on the internet, so you can do it at night, come back here, earn American money in Israel, right? And you can live like a king in Israel. You can spend 2 days, one seder with your learning, half a seder more learning, and half a seder with your family, and then do your job in the evening. Internet it. It's Gan Eden. You don't spend 15 hours a day working. Who needs it? Anyway, any other questions?
Yeah. So the Jewish model seems less spiritual than the Buddhist model. Because our framework is the goof, is this world.
No, not framework. Our framework is to bring the neshama into the goof, not to leave the goof.
But
our
target is to be in this world,
yeah.
Which is not spiritual by definition.
No, this world is spiritual. That's
okay, but it is spiritual, but it's not as spiritual as trying to ascend towards...
No, that's a mistake. Kedusha, Kedushin, right? Kedushin is like Kedusha, it's connection. When you connect to the physical, it has kedusha.
Isn't that
it's a higher level. Go back to that Talmud. What's harder, a month of meditating or packing your wife's boxes?
The physical is much harder.
But that's kedusha.
So that's
kedusha.
That's what makes
us holy. Being involved in the physical world is kedusha. When you're involved correctly. That means yashakel. That means to be straight with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. To bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu into the world. That's why we have Eretz Yisrael. Why we have a land. We have a land. Why we're a nation. The birth of the Jewish nation was Pesach. It's the birth of a family. The family unit is the most important unit. And I say this again and again because it's the most important thing for us to hear. The world is decaying because the family unit is decaying. And there's a reason for it. If you think about yourself, you're not going to think about other people. If you invert yourself and think about other people, you're going to have a family unit. Decay, the economy in America, the root of the problems of the economy in America is a decaying society. It's a taking society. It's a 60% divorce rate. That's why the economy is bad, ultimately. And the truth is, you can't save such an economy. Unless you change the fabric.
What will we say when it comes back up?
Huh? What will I say? First of all, it's not so simple as going to come back up. Not so simple.
Even if it's a temporary coming back up?
What's going to bring it back?
I don't know. I'm not an economist.
Yeah.
I'm not an economist. Maybe it'll come up. Maybe they'll make money. Maybe the guys in Manhattan will make lots of money, good investments in China and whatever. I don't know too much about economics. I'm just telling you, a country, and it's, you know, you had Rome. All these countries, all these major civilizations. Look, I'm not a historian either. But my guess is the decay of any society will occur when people, their desires overcome them. And they become a taking nation. And they don't have, there's no substance to the nation. The Jewish nation has remained throughout history. Parts of the Jewish people have been, we don't have lost. Which parts? The parts who became like the other nations of the world. The part of the Jewish people that remained is the religious part of the Jewish people who held on to the content of what life is about, that giving. And we're still around. How comes? Because we have that fabric. We have that base. Any nation who has that base will also stay around. There shouldn't be a breakdown of a nation if they have that fabric. The problem is the fabric breaks down. That's why you have civilizations who are here and they'll get destroyed. I'm not a historian. I mean, maybe a historian will tell me differently. I don't know. I'm not a historian. I never studied. Yeah? I'm right? You're a historian?
No.
Okay. I don't know. I'm guessing. Yeah.
So I'm asking this question. I studied Buddhism in college. And so part of that course was to have a seder, I guess, in meditation every day.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that I felt, after my sessions of meditation, I felt much more spiritual than I do after a tefillah. Much more. The disconnection, I felt it too. To me, was a very spiritual experience. And I feel this, which is incredibly difficult, is somehow less rewarding. Okay. And feeling less spiritual. So, okay. I've never been able to explain that.
Judaism has its forms of meditation. There's popular books by R.A. Kaplan, Jewish Meditation or Meditation in Kabbalah, right? There is Jewish meditation. There's actually a book, there's one of the Shmona Sharim, the Arizal, there's a book called Shar HaYichudim, the Shar of Oneness, I suppose, the Gates of Oneness. It speaks about meditation, Jewish meditation. Jewish meditation is focusing on God's names. And the Arizal, when he speaks in his kavanas, in his what tefillah is, it's the purpose is to focus on aspects of God's names. When we're davening, those influences come down on us. Jewish meditation is not focused on self; it's focused on God. It doesn't mean enlightenment. When you do these meditations, it's focused on your breathing, or on your feeling, on your thinking. Right? That's why it's a disconnect. Jewish meditation is also a disconnect. It's a halach and shulchan aruch. It says when a person davens, he gets to a level of it pashtus aguf, that he leaves his body. Rabbi Akiva used to start doubling in one place and he'd end up in another place. He never used to feel his goof.
I just wanted to know how that happened.
Because he never used to feel his goof. You never used to feel, you used to be in a different world. Now.
It was so dark in those days.
No, because of that one. Could be. But the problem is, when we daven, we don't really daven. Davening is a very hard thing to do. You can use techniques. Unfortunately, Jewish meditation from centuries was stopped. Why? Because it's dangerous. Not everyone can do it. And if you do it, you can get to places where you shouldn't be going. When you try to connect upwards with your Creator using these names, there's other things you connect to on the way.
Right.
Now, let me tell you a thing also.
When
feeling spiritual, people can feel spiritual by connecting to spiritual beings. Kishuf, I believe, I don't know what Kishuf is. Connecting with the spiritual worlds. We believe there's souls floating around. You know, if a person, what's Kafakela? You heard of Kafakela? The sling, a person gets thrown around, his neshama gets thrown around from one place of the world to the other, right? And neshama, if a person's so steeped in his physicality, he doesn't go to the higher spiritual worlds, he's left in the lower spiritual worlds. And he's so desirable of physicality that he's looking for a connection to the physical world. You can connect to those, these are called the shadim, the shindalads, right? You can connect to those things. You'll feel spiritual. You'll see futures, because they have no concept of time. You can do things. There's people who have these kochot, but they come from the lower spiritual world. That's tumah. It's spiritual feeling, but it's not kedusha. Kedusha is much higher, harder, because it's much higher up. And it takes a lot of effort to get there. The problem in getting there is that you might go to different places on the way, so we don't do it. So how do we feel kedusha? The only way we can feel kedusha is through actions, through our actions of mitzvahs and our Torah. And it's much harder to feel that kedusha. And it's much harder to do. But these other things which are easier is a pseudo form of kedusha, and it's really a disconnect.
Is it pseudo or just a lower form?
No, it's a disconnect. From a Jewish point of view, it's a disconnect.
Because it's not towards God, it's towards God.
It's towards yourself. And the focus on self is in a sense of Avodah Zarah. You build your self-image, you build yourself, your anochi in yourself becomes bigger. You think of yourself as... You know, I don't know these people. I don't know these people. I'm sure they're very good people. You know, the Dalai Lama, I'm sure he's a very special person. I'm not saying it's not for non-Jew to do this. Non-Jews don't have mitzvahs. They don't have this concept. So maybe for them, that's the way for the Eastern religions. You see, Avraham Avinu gave them Shema Satumah. Avraham Avinu was going to give his son something which was wrong for them. It's you know, some people say it's wrong. Even some Jewish commentators say it's wrong. There's an insiv that says, even for non-Jews it's wrong. It's a machlokas. It's not so simple, right? But you can do wrong things with them. But it could be for them it's a proper way. It's a proper avoda. I'm not saying avoda zara, not the serving of idols, but the concept might be a proper way. Might be for the Arabs, their form of religion, a proper thing. The Rambam says that it's good for the goyim to have a concept of God. It's good, Christianity was good for the non-Jews. Islam was good for the non-Jews. For a Jew, it's bad, because a Jew has a different way of connection. Now, feeling of spirituality, I don't know what that means. When you leave yourself, Yom Kippur, you feel spirituality? When you daven?
Sorry, I can't remember.
I'll tell you what you have to do. It's a problem, because this is the same problem this boy had. When you taste spirituality, that you get easy, and I'm telling you the only way you can get to that level of spirituality is with very hard work, and it's not easy to get there, you're not going to bother. You don't even appreciate the ability, the work that it takes to get to that same level. So why should I do when I get it easily from that? But it's a different level of spirituality. It's a more wholesome form. You understand? It's not that what you felt wasn't spirituality, but for a Jew it isn't. For a Jew, that's not what it's about. If a person wants, you know, you go to a psychologist or you want to do this meditation because it calms you down, or the breathing exercises calms you down, and you want to use a technique, fine, use it as a technique. You want to learn Kung Fu or these martial arts to control your anger, fine, as a technique, use it. But it's not an avoda. It's not an avoda Hashem. It's not something which is going to bring kedusha in your life. You understand? Yeah.
When you dive into an aspect, for example, you try to feel something. How do you know if you're feeling the right thing? How do you know what it could be totally off? I mean, like, if I feel anything remotely that is a little bit different than me staring out the window.
How do you feel when you're in college, right? Some guys have, you know, let's assume you had a girlfriend or wife, I'd say, right? How do you feel you love her? How do you know she loves you? How do you feel it? You feel feelings, right? She's not around now. Maybe she's at home and she found, I don't know what, she found that you messed up something or you broke something or I don't know, she did something or she found out and she's annoyed with you at the moment and you feel she, and you, and you're feeling feelings of love. Right? And you feel she loves you. Maybe she doesn't love you. Maybe she's annoyed with you now. Right? How do you know? You don't know. Do you know God exists? Do you know it? No. Can you know it? But it doesn't stop you from having a relationship. A relationship means an investment. Do you feel you're getting back something from that investment? Do you feel a relationship? That's what we're talking about. Do you feel He's guiding your life? Can you have a conversation with Him and see has an impression on you? Do you feel lucky that you're here and that you're straightening your life out and that your life's being, you know, given a path? That's a connection. Now that we have that connection, how do we use that connection? In order to use that connection, there's Hakaras HaTov. You have to recognize the good that He's done for you and want to praise Him and thank Him. Someone gave you something very good, there's a desire to praise and thank. He's around, thank Him. Use your own words sometimes. But it requires effort. It requires a lot of effort. Tefillah requires a lot of effort. It's not like you think. It's very, very hard because we're not negating our emotions when we daven. We're not negating ourselves. We're extending our emotions to Him. We're focusing intense emotions towards Him. That takes a lot of practice, more than meditation. The Ramchal speaks about it. There was Kat of Nevi'im. There used to be groups of Nevi'im. But the Navi used to have, is like his Talmidim, his Nevi'im. And it's to teach them how to a meditative state of Nevuah. Through Simcha, through joy. Right? We don't have that nowadays. That's what Shah Ruach HaKodesh. Not Shah Ruach HaKodesh. Right? Of Ruach HaKodesh. I don't say Ruach HaKodesh in English.
Holy Spirit,
okay. How we get to that level? There were ways that people got to that level. You have Ramchal, right? Pinchas Ben Yair, the final level, the Mesillas Yesharim, the final level is Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, so we stop at zeros, right? Maybe we should add zeros, we even stop. Okay, right? But it doesn't matter. There's a way. There was once a way. It's a long way. It's not easy.
There are ways to achieve higher levels of consciousness, not at the level that goes into like prophecy zone.
But that's not Kedusha. That's not Kedusha. Kedusha isn't leaving yourself.
It's not leaving yourself. Higher levels of consciousness. For example, like if you do mitzvahs, you achieve a higher level of consciousness. So the difference between, my opinion, Buddhists and Jews, and I have two perspectives. One, on one hand, Buddhists are also able to achieve a higher level of consciousness after meditation when they come down. But what do? They lift cars, they float. I mean, I've heard all sorts of stories. A Jew is supposed to be able to achieve a higher level of consciousness. Not to say that meditation is the right approach to it, but rather you achieve a higher level of consciousness, come down, and elevate the world with you. So that's the point. But the whole Torah was authored by... But Moshe Rabbeinu achieved the highest level of consciousness.
It's not consciousness. We're not interested in being control over our mind. or control over our feelings, or control over our goof.
That's not what I'm saying.
We're not interested.
That's not what I'm saying. So,
we're not lifting cars or smashing bricks.
Exactly right. That's not what I'm saying. So consciousness. What's supposed to be
lifting up the world?
Lifting up the world. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Where? Yeah.
I have a question. So, but my question on this now is: you said that we used to have these practices within Judaism to achieve. It used to be easier for us to achieve high spirituality. Whether or not the mitzvahs were more meaningful or tefillah, we actually knew how to daven, and we lost that.
The deeper levels. The davening we didn't lose. We still have that.
But we avoid these meditation techniques that are a quick way to spirituality because they're potentially dangerous. That
yeah.
Turn us off.
No. The higher level meditations, you could take you off course.
Okay,
yeah,
fine. But now, though, because it's so hard for us to achieve this high spirituality, it's almost as though we're not even giving ourselves a chance anymore to achieve spirituality because we know that we can't achieve it by what we're doing because it's so difficult. We could work a lifetime in mitzvot and still never really achieve a high spiritual level because it's so difficult for us, and we could have just gone this other route.
But that's what spirituality is. What I'm trying to tell you. That is not spirituality. Spirituality is not feeling a floating feeling. That's not spirituality. Spirituality is when you sit down with your child, right? And you're playing a game with him on Shabbos. That's spirituality. Spirituality is talking to your wife. Spirituality is eating your challah on Shabbos. How come I don't feel spiritual? How come I feel, this is tasty. That's a good ice cream. Right? It's a much harder feeling of spirituality to bring spirituality into this world than to feel, it's great, like to meditate for half an hour and feel, to be spaced out. That's not spirituality. It's not spirituality. When you're unconscious, if someone could do hypnosis to you, right? Then also you feel spiritual. You feel like when you're sleeping, right? Some people can get, there's meditations of sleep. Sleep meditation. So you can be in a level of subconscious that you can be sleeping while you're awake. You can get to that level of your subconscious, a high level of meditation. That's not spirituality.
Why? Because it's selfish?
Yeah, it's a focus on self. It's a focus on self. Our focus is not on self. Our focus is an expression on ourselves for other people. You understand? And that's what we mean by spirituality. When you bring up your children properly, when you speak to your wife, when you have a relationship, that's spirituality.
What is the expression of ourselves and other people?
Some people say people are different in who they are. Mm-hmm. Right? You're doing, workshop to work out who you are, what type of person you are. Some people are more cognitive, some people are more emotional, some people are more, active. When you find out the type of person you are, everyone has all of them, but when you find out the main part of you, that's the part of you want to express to be giving over to other people, to the world, to your family, to your people you're relating to. That's what we mean by spirituality. You understand? It doesn't mean you feel you're floating. You're not going to feel you're floating. Nothing in Judaism makes you feel you're floating. The only day, once a year, we daven five tefillahs. I mean, you're davening the whole day, and you're in the fasting, it's Yom Kippur. That's the only day, right, where we like negate our guf. It's a Yom of Kippur. It's a different day. It has to be explained. And we say Yom Kippur. It's a chazal. Yom Kippurim. It's a day like Purim. Purim is a much higher level. And Purim, we drink, and we eat, and we do all sorts of things, right? Doesn't seem that way. You feel more spiritual on Yom Kippur or on Purim? Okay, right, it's obvious, right? But it's a Yom Kippur, and Purim's a higher level. It's a comparison. That means we are understanding what spirituality is. Right, yeah. What we mean by spirituality is floating up there, right? Right. It doesn't mean that. Our concept of spirituality is involvement in the physical world in a correct way.
And why is that? Because we're acting like Hashem? In the sense we're giving up?
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly. Hashem created the world.
Instead of us taking, we're giving.
We're giving. We're not taking. Look, it's selfish if you think about it. I want enlightenment. Bye bye, you guys. I'm going to get enlightenment. Okay, I'm going to be nice to you guys and come back, get you guys up there. Okay, so you're giving. But you reached it by yourself. You didn't. You're not giving. You're not getting married. You're not having children. You're not, I'm not saying for them it's wrong. I don't know what for them is right or wrong. It's a machlokas, I told you. But for us, it's definitely wrong. For us, it's definitely wrong. You understand?
So if you're doing that properly, expression, and you raise your kids and deal with people properly, is there a simple sort of feeling of like spirituality or like or whatever it is?
This world is a world of doing. You will. We have very spiritual people, right? Who, with having a family and doing all these things, usually. Big rabbis start to become big rabbis at the age of 70 or 80, right? By then, you know, all the kids are married off. They're usually alone. You know, it's like the great-great-grandchildren they have now, and they're sitting and learning and sitting. There are stages in the world, in life, where a person gets to a stage where his avoda is dveikus to Kadosh Baruch Hu. What? There's stages, you understand? Judaism is about those stages. So when we get to that stage, it could be there's a different avoda. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't married. Kodesh Baruch Hu told him not to be married. But in order for Moshe Rabbeinu to get there, he had to be married. Kohen Gadol cannot be a Kohen Gadol unless he's married. Can't be Kohen Gadol. But he's not with his wife when he's doing the Yom Kippur service. Right? You understand the difference? There are stages where we get to a higher level of reality.
Every stage
has its avoda. So I'm not saying there isn't a stage where there's dveikus to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That will come later on in life. First, you have to get married, have children, do the mitzvahs, and then there's a stage in life where that's the time for dveikus and esek haTorah. You understand? And that's how we're dovek to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And you will, at that stage in life, usually at that stage in life, you don't have desires for many things.
Right.
Yeah. There's more of that ability to have that, what you're calling the dveikus. But after you've had all of that, those years of avoda, right? And of work on self, then you reach a level of Kedusha. Then it'll be easier to reach a level of Kedusha and not go in the wrong way. You understand what I'm saying?
As you get older, it gets
easier. Yeah, as you get older, if you worked on yourself in the way that Judaism tells you to work on yourself, when you get older, so then that, those are the year for Dveikus, those are the year for Zikna, right? And the person changes. The person's. Older people you find are much kinder, much more rachamim. White beard means rachamim. Older people are much more rachamim. Grandparents are much more merciful than parents on their children. Parents tell you off. Grandparents are always accepting. Yeah, right?
They give you money.
Right? You can run away from mum and dad, you go to your grandpa. Right? It's always like that. That's a different stage in life. You've seen life. You've already seen life. You know, things, you know. You've had those arguments with people when you were young. Now you're telling your children, don't argue, leave it, it doesn't make a difference, because you know, hindsight. You know, then that's the time for dveikus, that's a different time. But you can't get there without the process. You understand? Mm-hmm. That's the Yom Kippur, for example. That's the Yom Kippur of, when you're there.
But it's constant work only to give to other people.
Yeah, that's what Judaism's all about. All our mitzvahs is giving. What's klal gadol b'Torah? V'avtarecha kamocha. Why? Stam? Giving of self is the purpose of life. But giving in a proper way, you have to know how to give. If you don't know how to give, you know, you can be non-giving, you can be taking. You have to know how to give. And it's harder. It's harder just to, you know, like elevate yourself and meditate. It's harder to, like, you know, not argue with the wife. Pack up those boxes. Believe me, it's harder. I'm sure that our meditation will not be, you know, we'll ask you in a few years' time, I don't know how long, but, right? Whenever you're allowed to get married, B'zrat Hashem, we'll ask you, when you have to pack the equivalent of those packing those boxes, what was easier for you?
Sure,
which
sure.
Brings more Kedusha in the world?
That it won't feel like it does.
Won't feel like
it.
But it will. You understand? And when you go,
it won't feel, no.
The place for the feeling. This is the world of doing. Hayom la'asotim, ulamach ha'lakabal scharam. The feeling of that kedusha isn't here. The feeling of that kedusha is olam haba. Your work is here. That feeling of kedusha, the feeling. You have the remnants of that kedusha. You will feel. When you do something right, you will feel good. But the full feeling won't come till Olam Haba. You understand? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's great.